All right, we're going to be in Colossians chapter number one this morning. And thank you again for being here this morning. We're going to look at something about the church and what God wants. Several years ago, somebody, a family in our church many, many years ago, took my wife and I out. They took us out for dinner, and we went to, I don't remember the restaurant. It was over here. It was downtown Long Beach somewhere. And it was an Italian restaurant, but it was like, was one of those like super high-end restaurants, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like we went to a steak place, Fleming's. Fleming's is like super, super high-end. I like Italian food. I looked at their menu, and I'm like, I couldn't figure out what it was. I looked at everything, and I'm like, they had all these weird Italian names. I didn't understand the descriptions, and I'm like, I know what I like, but I couldn't find it on the menu. And the waiter came, and he kind of saw me floundering. I'm like, look, what is this stuff? You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like in another language. He's like, all right, look. He goes, I got it. He goes, you're used to going to like, he insulted me. He goes, you're used to going to like Olive Garden. He goes, this isn't Olive Garden. I'm like, I know it's not Olive Garden, but it's not English either. And so he goes, just tell me what you like. And so I did. I said, I typically like this type of pasta, this type of sauce, that kind of blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'll have him make something that is good for you. And he was right. It was spot on. I don't even know if it was on the menu. And I wasn't paying for it. So, hey, special order didn't upset me. And so, but the point is, I couldn't understand it, but I did know this. I knew one thing. I knew exactly if I'm going to eat an Italian meal, I know exactly what I wanted. And that is exactly what I got. It's kind of like that with the church and the Lord. The Lord has an ideal for the church. As the Lord looks at the church, and when we say the church, he's talking about us as a corporate body and as the individuals. And God has a mind what he would really like in the church. And by the way, the church is important. Church was not man's idea. Church was God's idea. He came up with it. Look to the New Testament. The majority of the writings in the New Testament, really, once you get past the book of Acts, they're to churches. The book of Revelation was written originally towards to seven different churches. Not that it's scripture, but that's how God got it out. You go look in the book of Acts. The Gospels are the story of Jesus Christ and him and his ministry on earth and his birth, his life, and his death. Once you get to the book of Acts is also history, but it's the history of the foundation in the early days of the church. Church is important. It's important that we have fellowship, and that's just a word that means a friendship that Christians have together in the church based on their spiritual life and based on the fact that they have the same values and the same beliefs. So the church is important. Paul is writing the book of Colossians from prison. Interestingly, he had never been to the church there. He heard of these group of believers. He was thankful for them. He heard of their faith. He learned of their love. And so he writes to them. And after his greeting, in the verses we read, he shares how he was praying for them and what he desires for them. By the way, that's kind of the theme of Paul's epistles. You know, thank you. I've heard about you. This is what you're doing. And he gives them a greeting. And then he gets on to talk about doctrine and also to talk about practice in their life. He prayed for them. He wanted them to have God's spiritual blessings in their life, but he also wanted to point some things out to them. And if you read this chapter, and we're going to look through it, as he's praying for certain things for them, he's really praying for the things that God really desires for his people who make up the church. And it's not just for the people that lived at Colossae at that time. It's scripture. It's for every single one of us. And as I looked at this passage, I personally saw, and there's probably more, but I want to focus on six different desires that God has for his church. That would be us. That would be you individually, because you make up the church. Let me go through them. I know when I say there's six things, you're like, okay, wait a minute, it's 10 after 11. If he goes 3 minutes here, and kind of said, we're going to get out of here at midnight. No, I'm hungry too. Okay, let me just give you these six things that God has for us as a church, but also that he wants you to have in your life. First of all, he wants us to have the right kind of love. Amen. The right love. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love which you have to all the saints. Yep. Verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You see, when we think of a church, the first thing we think about is what type of church is it? When we're thinking about what type of church it is, we're basically thinking, what are their beliefs? How does that church function? And there is some things to that. That we're a Baptist church, not just because, you know, it's a good name. And not that we're the only Christian church. We're not saying that. We're a Baptist church because the Baptist stands for certain doctrines in the scripture that we adhere to. That's why we're Baptists. But you take all those beliefs and all those other things, there's something at its core that a church is really supposed to have. It's love. It's love. Yes, we're supposed to have the right beliefs. Yes, we're supposed to act in the right way. Yes, we're supposed to honor God and all those different things. But at its core, we have to love. Amen. Love is important. They had two. Look at verse 4. They had a love for all the saints. The love which you have to the saints. They didn't just love the people that they got along with. Can I get a witness? That's easy. Okay. That person, we have the same personality. We like that. Look, there's certain guys like, hey, man, we like the same things. Like, they're easy to get along with. What about people that don't like the same things as you? What about people that don't have the same personality as you? Got to love them. We're to love everybody. You say, but yeah, they're just a little bit off. Well, hold on a second. Could it be that you're really the one that's off? They're just mentally, they're a little bit different. And you know what they're thinking? That person, they're just mentally a little different. That's just because we are different. And we can't let that keep us from not loving one another. Someone's going through something, we ought to be there for them. Someone is struggling, we ought to be there for them. Someone needs help, you know, the place they ought to be, they ought to be here for them. I remember years ago, we were at the old church, and after church, this guy came, and he was asking for money or something, and pastor was talking to him, and pastor was trying to help him, and he asked the guy, he goes, look, let me ask you, are you a Christian? And this guy goes, you know, yeah, actually I am. And pastor said, the reason you're coming over here looking for help and you haven't already got the help, and he said it nicely, he said, because you don't have a church family. If you had a church family, you already would have had people there that are there for you. You would have had people there that are already praying for you. That's the advantage of a church family. By the way, we come to church because we get things out of church, and I enjoy being at church. It blesses me. But can I just tell you something? We're supposed to be here also for others. We got to love the saints. There was an illustration. A video, it was viral, I don't know how many years ago. You may have seen it. The family that was at Disneyland. And this was literally, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, children, another brother. And they got in a fist fight with each other. Now, it must have been good because the security guards from Disneyland were just sitting there watching it. Maybe that's why it's the happiest place on earth. I don't know. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, if somebody else started a fight with you, I try not to fight. You're with your family. That's one thing. But I mean, these people all got in the same car. These people all went together. They live together. And I mean, guy was fighting guy, girl was fighting girl, guy was fighting girl, girl was fighting guy. It was crazy. I'm thinking, they're family. They went there together. That ought not to be. We're a church family.
Amen.
We ought not to be fighting and doing that kind of thing.
Yes,
and by the way, you ought to be here on Sunday nights. We're talking about principles that you can apply to the technology and social media, and that's one of them. But we love the saints, and we do it through the Spirit. That's what he says in verse 8. Who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I'm going to just tell you something right now. You ready? It takes the Spirit of God to love some people.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And that's not a criticism of you. Because if you love me, it's going to take the Spirit of God to help you love me too. Are you with me? We're people.
Oh, yeah.
People are irritating.
Yeah.
Everybody I met can be irritating, including the handsome guy I look at every morning in that picture above the sink. My favorite picture in the house. Love that picture. I need more of them. It takes the Spirit of God. That's why if you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, all of those things. You know what all those things do? They relate to how we relate to one another. The point is we have to have the right kind of love. Secondly, we have to have the right kind of momentum. The right kind of momentum. Look at verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, the gospel, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying the gospel came unto you as it comes to everybody, and that gospel can bear fruit. We teach somebody the gospel, how they can know for sure they die to go to heaven, and if they'll accept that and we do our job like we're trying to do on Friend Day, there might be fruit from that. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ might get saved. I got saved because somebody invited me to a big day, Easter. And you know what the fruit of that invitation was? I walked the aisle and I trusted Christ as my Savior. But the fruit isn't just that. Look what he says. It's coming to you since the day you heard of it. It's been bearing fruit in your life since the day you heard it. They got saved, and it wasn't just the fruit of the salvation. It was the fruit of what that did in their life from that point forward. That was the beginning point. And the fruit that was really growth in their life took them forward. It brought forth fruit. Fruit, that's what fruit is in the Bible. A fruit of Christian can be a couple things. It's the people that we help to reach for Jesus Christ, but it's also what God does in our life.
Yes, sir.
Because if you're a Christian and you're growing in your faith, naturally, there are going to be some things that change in your life. There are going to be some things you develop in your life. It's natural. If you plant a seed and you water it and you take care of it, it's going to naturally grow. And if it's an orange tree, it's going to naturally produce oranges because it's healthy. Since the time they got the gospel and they went forward, he goes, you're bearing fruit since that day. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting fruit in your life? Basically, that's because you're growing. And by the way, I don't care where you're at in your life as a Christian. That's not important. What's important is what direction are you going?
Come on. Amen.
What direction are you going?
Yep.
You look, when I was a brand new Christian, I walked into church, all of it was new to me. All of it. And I was excited, I was going forward. You would have looked at me, I did not look sanctified. I was rough around the edges. But you know what? I was going the right direction. That's all that mattered. And the longer I was there, and the longer I was reading my Bible, and the longer I was doing that, it was bearing fruit in my life. Is it bearing fruit in your life? You say, Pastor, I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm going forward, but I still have some struggles. Hey, keep going forward. Don't let that get you discouraged. Don't let that get you down. Are you going the right direction? Here's what happens. We start going that right direction, and we start bearing fruit in our life, and then we have a stumble. And we're like, this whole thing just does not work.
Amen.
Well, what about all those other times you weren't stumbling? Right? You know, that's like a football player. Like, man, I caught the pass I was running, and the guy knocked me down before I scored. I'm sick of this. You're closer to the goal line.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, you made progress.
Amen.
And we get so discouraged. Are you growing? And we grow because, look at verse 6, because of his grace. And knew the grace of God in truth. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse, although the horse I think is still alive. We've talked about this. The grace of God is not just for salvation. It's for how you live your life after salvation. They bought into it. And it bore fruit in their life. How's your momentum? By the way, you know what the good thing is? Say, man, I had momentum. I was going forward, and I kind of stopped, and I'm kind of a little bit, I maybe take a couple steps back. Can I just tell you something? Get up, and let's start going forward again.
Amen.
Hey, let's be spiritually resilient. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again.
Amen.
Riseth up again. Thirdly, the right mentality. We got to have the right mentality. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled. Filled with what? The knowledge of his will and his wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where did he want that filling to take place? Here. You got to know some things in your mind. It's not going to get to your heart if it's not getting to your mind. Filled means to be fully equipped. That you might be filled, fully equipped. That was a word they would use of a ship that was fully loaded and ready for a voyage. That's how the word was used. He said, I want you to be filled. I want you to be like that ship, and it has a destination, and I want it to get there, and it's fully loaded, and it's ready to go to its destination. What's that destination? Knowledge. You might be filled with knowledge, a fullness, a precise, accurate knowledge. God wants us to be fully loaded with precise and accurate knowledge for the voyage we're taking on this earth.
Amen.
See, if we're in this, if there's air, we're going to have trouble. The knowledge relates to several things. His will, the knowledge of his will. You know what God wants us to be confirmed with in our mind? What he wants from us. Now again, that comes from his word. If we're knowing his word, we know exactly what God wants us to do. You never have to pray about something that God specifically says. If God says it, guess what? Don't need to pray about it. I need to do it. But God will show us his will. We'll have a hard time finding God's will and what he wants for us in the future if we're not committed to doing it right now in the present. God wants us to know his will. He wants us to know his wisdom, the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. We know what wisdom is. It's not IQ. And in this crowd, all of us here, we should be thankful for that. Amen? Probably if we were to add all of our IQs together, we'd probably just be a little bit short of Einstein. I'm kidding. But listen, it's not about how smart you are. Okay? Say, man, I worked hard and I was a straight D student. Amen. Good for you, you know? You ever see those little bumper stickers? My son was an honor student. I like the other one. My son beat up your honor student, okay? It's like, kid's so smart, he didn't know how to duck. It's not about how smart we are. It's about how much of the Word of God do we know. Are we willing to put that into practice? God wants that to be in our mind. And then also his way and spiritual understanding. Just understanding what spirituality is all about.
Amen.
What does it mean? What's the way to look at it? You know, the majority of people who claim to be Christians in this world, they don't have spiritual understanding. They don't look at this world through God's eyes. We call that a worldview. A worldview is how you view this world, how you view the things of this life. We're supposed to have a worldview that is filtered through the lens of Scripture.
Amen.
But most don't. God says, I want you to know that in your mind. The way you live, it ought to just be following my will. Next, he wants us to have the right results. The right results. Verse 10. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and progressing in the knowledge of God. Walk means to how we live our life. God says, I want you to walk worthy. See, a person who is saved will have fruit And that fruit will be evident to people and show them that, you know what, this is a Christian. Some people have that. Others don't. And the point is, if you're struggling with that, here's the good thing. Just change the way you're walking. Start getting on board. Start gaining that spiritual momentum. But God wants us to have the right results. That's what he's talking about. He talks about our walk, the way that we live. He says it ought to be worthy, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. That means appropriately, suitably. You know that, what that means, appropriate? In other words, the right actions at the right time, right? Suitably. If you're going to a formal dinner, you don't go in shorts and a t-shirt. That's not appropriate. That's not suitable. The situation, what does the situation call for? Well, what do the situations of life call for from us? We find out from the scripture. And that's how we live our life, because we want to walk worthy of the Lord, appropriately, in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. God wants that. And that'll lead to how we work, being fruitful in every good work. If we're going to live for God, we're going to work for God. If we're going to live for God, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do the things that he wants us to do. By the way, we have those things in our church, right? We call those different ministries. Once you come to a church and you're saved and you're growing and you choose a church as your church, now it's time for you to get involved. We used to say, hey, you're a member now? Here's the first thing you need as a member. Park off-site. They're like, wait a minute, what about a Bible? Take your Bible if you want to take it with you. Okay, we don't have enough parking. I'm being facetious, but please do park at Blue Line. We need a lot more space over here. But it's like, look, now it's like, this is my church. And by the way, and I've taught it over and over, there's several times in the Bible it talks of salvation, and right after salvation it says, good works, go do works. Get involved. Do something for the Lord. Don't just sit. You know, they say if you sit, you will soak and you will sour. Do something. Get involved. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants each and every one of us to do. Fifthly, say, man, you're going pretty good. Last point's going to take forever. Just kidding. He wants us to have the right power. Look at verse 11. He says, strengthened with all might. By the way, don't we need power to live the Christian life? Don't we need, it seems so simple, but it's hard. Okay, it seems like, okay, God said it, let's just do it. I know, but we need power in this world to be able to get through this thing. Strengthened with all might according to, what's that next word? His glorious power. Not yours. I've seen some of the strongest, most physically imposing people I knew that were Christians, and they live like sissies. Amen. Look, I'm not trying to be mean here. I have zero respect, and I probably shouldn't say it out loud, but that's fine. I say a lot of things. I have zero respect as a Christian for Drew Brees. Zero. There are several times he said something as he says he's a Christian, and he backed down because someone got in his face. That's not how it works. If it was right before someone got in your face about it, it is right after they get in your face about it. Amen. Yeah. He stood up for Christians, an organization that would promote kids at school to meet and go around a flagpole and pray. And he stood up for, he said, yeah, I'm all for that. And someone found out, oh, they're anti-gay, blah, 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 blah. You should, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, I'm against it. Coward. Coward. And he's probably a nice guy. I'd let him take me out to dinner. But I'm just saying, that's how most Christians look at the world, by the way. They're like, right and wrong has nothing to do, because, you know, it's like, I could lose money and all that. Well, wait a minute. When we're doing what God wants us, we'll do it in his power. Not saying we're being rude. But just because someone disagrees with us, we don't back down. We don't have to be rude about it. And I was probably a little bit rude towards him. Drew, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, that's our Christianity in a nutshell today. Well, I just don't agree with you. You're wrong. Like, I'm sorry, I love you, but that's what the Bible says. Right? I mean, is that how it should be? The ladies are not sure, but anybody that's a man says that's how it should be. But anyhow, you know how we get that power? It's according to his might. By the way, when I'm standing for something or I believe something that maybe may not be popular in the world, it's not my belief. I said, you know, I think you're wrong about that, this, that, and the other. It's like, well, I didn't say it. God said it. I'm just on board with it.
Right.
Yep. So, you know, take it up with him. You know, if you can get him to change his mind, I'll change my mind. Of course, you won't. But it's more than that. We need his power just to live the Christian life.
Yep.
Man, it's just hard. And it's easy to say, you're at work, bless God, and they're getting on you for being a Christian. Just say, I love Jesus anyhow. I know. Until you get to work and there's like 10 people around you saying, what is this Jesus? What are you? You hate people and all this stuff? And they'll accuse you of all kinds of things. And I get it. But you know how you do it? We need God's power. And if we're following him and doing the other things, it'll be easy for us to just say, hey, look, this is just how it's supposed to be. There'll be some times in your life that there's things, and you may not understand it, but God says do it, and you're kind of like this. And it's like, you know what? God said it. I know it's difficult, but I got to do it. We need God's power for that, do we not? By the way, that's what grace is after salvation. It's God's power to do the right thing because he's going to give us the strength that we need. And then lastly, we need the right spirit. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. You know what the right spirit is? Just to be thankful about everything God's done for us. See, Satan tries to get us to look at the things of God like, that's not the best way. In fact, if you follow that, God's holding out on you. Instead of looking at it and saying, no, this is the best way. God's right on board. And man, I'm thankful that he's done this. Yeah. But give thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Yeah. You know, we have a spiritual inheritance if we're saved. And you know, God calls us a saint.
That's right.
Not that we have a halo or we glow at night, none of that stuff. Positionally in Jesus Christ, we are. And he calls us a saint, and we have an inheritance. After we die, it's going to be fantastic. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You remember, some of you that maybe had a rough life, you remember how it used to be? Remember? That was darkness, and now you're in the light. Have you ever stopped to remember that and say, you know, I'm still thankful, God, that you changed me. I'm still thankful I am not caught up in that stuff anymore, right? Isn't that how it should be? And I know how it is. The farther we get from the darkness sometimes, the less appreciative we are of what God says. And by the way, we don't have this at this church, and we better never have this. Someone comes in, oh, look at that person. Obviously, they're not living right. Would you like me to get up and tell your testimony? You know, you know, sometimes we get so far from how we were, we don't have patience for those who come in where we were at. Okay? And those of you that maybe never had that, if it wasn't for God's grace, that probably could be you. Okay? So we don't have that around here. Thank God for that. That, you know, you just look a little shinier and your clothes are, not today, your clothes are a little bit better. By the way, thank you for that, Joseph. That helped me. Tunic. Now I know it's not a dress. But my wife and daughters wear tunics all the time. I'm sorry. Your wife told me to do this to you, so I'm just doing it. Be thankful, brother. Be thankful. The problem is we forget what God has done for us, right? There was a story in 1860, Northwestern University. They had a squad of... almost like lifeguards that would be like those that save people in the water. Well, near where they were at, there was a passenger boat, the Lady Elgin, and it was in trouble and it started to flounder and it started to go down and people were going to drown. There was a student there named Edward Spencer. He was one of those. He happened to be on site. He went into that freezing cold water 17 times and pulled somebody out. He saved 17 lives. But he started getting hypothermia. It affected his health drastically for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But you know what he said that was sad? He said, when I got to the end of my life, when he got to the end of his life, someone went and asked him about that. He goes, not one person who I saved ever in my entire life came back to me and thanked me for what I did.
Yeah.
I hope we don't do that with the Lord.
No, come on.
I hope we can always look back and say, thank God for what he's doing in my life now. Thank God for what he's done in my life. That's the kind of spirit God wants us to have. Let's be thankful. So what's the point this morning? I owe Drew Brees an apology. That's the point. Here's the point. God has an ideal for us. And by the way, I think our church is doing well. God wants us to have love. God wants us to have the right momentum and growth. God wants us to have the right mentality, the things that we're doing, have in our mind, the knowledge. God wants us to have the right result, the fruit of what we're doing. God wants us to trust in His Spirit to get strength. And God wants us to have the right remembrance of what He's done and be thankful to Him. How are you doing on that? Oh, I come to church every Sunday. I get it. But are we trying to accomplish these things in our life together as a group? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I want a couple minutes later. It's our program, so we have a little bit more going on. How is it going this morning? Was there an area of your life that maybe there's a little bit of a struggle? Whether it's love, maybe, and by the way, all of us, there are times in our life we're just not as loving as we should be. I know. Maybe our momentum. We're not seeing God work in our life, and in our walk maybe needs a little bit of help. Maybe it could be because we're not putting the right things in our mind. We're not trusting God and His strength to help us to do what we should. We don't have a spirit of thankfulness like we should. Maybe God spoke to you. Maybe there's some areas we need to clear up today. Before we have the invitation, I will ask this. The first thing God wants of everybody in His church is this, that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they know for sure that their eternal destiny has been settled. And if they were to die, that they would go to heaven. Here's the question this morning. If you were to die today, would you be 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? Or do you have any doubts? That can be settled today. If that's you, let me just ask this question with nobody looking around. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me about that? With nobody looking around, just raise your hand real quick and I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Raise your hand. Yes, I see right here. Let's stand together. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God spoke to you about anything? We have a great church, and I want our church to accomplish great things and help a lot of people, but we have to have the right kind of qualities, the ones we talked about today. Piano's playing. If God spoke to you, why don't you come down to this altar? Maybe pray to Him to help you in those areas. None of us are perfect. We need to constantly be working on it.